At the Last Supper, when Jesus took the cup of blessing in his hands, he said that the cup was the chalice of his blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant that will be poured out for many. Now, that phrase, the new covenant, would have gotten the attention of his apostles. As good and religious Jewish men, that phrase, new covenant, would have reminded them of a prophecy. The prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 33. The prophet says, "See, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Jeremiah goes on to say, "It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors, the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke my covenant, but this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." The concept of a covenant was so important to the Jewish people. And since we are religiously related to the Jewish people, we're brothers and sisters in faith, covenants are very important to us as well. God entered into many, many covenants in the Old Testament. And a covenant is something more than a contract, something that's legally binding. When God enters into a covenant, God is drawing his creation into relationship with him. God, in his covenants, makes man promises. Promises that they will be special to him, his chosen people. He welcomes through covenants these people into his family. And God promises that he will take care of them. And that people promise that he will be their God. God incorporates into his family through covenants with Noah, Abraham, Moses, and David. He promises to take care of his people, and his people promise to have no other gods but him. And what's very interesting about all of the covenants of the Old Testament is that they were all accompanied by animal sacrifice. They all were accompanied by rituals in which animals shed their blood. That blood ritual was sort of becoming like blood brothers, right? God joining creation to himself very, very intimately. And that animal sacrifice was a sign of that. We also know that the covenants of the Old Testament were not lived up to by the people. Time and time again, God enters into covenants with them and they break them. Think simply of the golden calf. That's probably the most egregious sign of a broken covenant. In fact, Jeremiah makes this prophecy about a new covenant as the people are spiraling into exile because they're unfaithful to God. They're currently in the process of breaking their covenant with God. But Jeremiah tells them that God intends that there will be a new covenant. And the new covenant will be different than all of the old ones. Jeremiah tells them that God's direct intervention into the human world will call a people to himself. And that he will write his words not on tablets of stone, but on people's hearts, the human heart. I wonder if the people thought, well, how is God going to do this? Certainly the promise seemed to go unforetold. There was some 500 years that separated Jeremiah from the time of Jesus. And in those 500 years, the sacrifices in the temple continued. There were countless animals who were sacrificed in the Jerusalem temple, and none of them signified this new covenant. None of them was the direct intervention of God into the world until that night in the upper room when Jesus says, "This cup is the cup of my blood, the blood of a new and everlasting covenant." A direct intervention by God into his world, the shedding of the very blood of the Son of God, not animal sacrifices, but the Word made flesh. God's blood spilled for his people. And the new covenant comes into existence on the cross when the blood of Jesus is shed for us. When the new covenant, God's direct intervention in our lives, is sealed by the shedding of the blood of the Son of God. And as the early Christians reflected on all of this prophecy and who Jesus was and what happened at the crucifixion, what happened on that terrible Friday afternoon, they thought back to another prophecy of the Old Testament, another mysterious prophecy, this time from the prophet Isaiah. And we actually heard parts of it today in the first reading. The 50th chapter of Isaiah is what's called the suffering servant poetry, where Isaiah describes this unfortunate character who will be God's suffering servant. And the early church read that prophecy and saw it fulfilled in Jesus. They saw Jesus to be the God's suffering servant, a man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity, who carried our infirmities and our sufferings. Isaiah said he would be crushed for our sins, that he takes on him the guilt of us all, and by that we are healed. Isaiah said God's suffering servant will give his life as an offering for sin. Through his suffering, my servant shall justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. Today, on this Good Friday, we commemorate the establishment of that new covenant between us and God. The covenant that was sealed in the shedding of the blood of that suffering servant. That God became man. He directly intervened in our world and shed his blood to establish this new relationship, to incorporate us into his family, to incorporate us into the very life of God. How? By grace. That God's grace literally lives within those of us who are baptized. The divine life alive within us. God's direct intervention into our world. The shedding of the blood of the Son of God draws us into God's family. And that covenant is not something stuck in the past. It's not something that we read about like we read about something in a history book. That new covenant, the new covenant of Jesus sealed in his blood, is something that exists in each of our lives. We are incorporated into the new covenant. We are people of the new covenant. And that covenant comes with grace, the grace to live our relationship with God, to live in God's family. And that covenant is renewed each and every time we celebrate the Eucharist, when that sacrifice of Jesus is presented again to us on the altar, when it is made present to us. The new covenant is God's direct intervention into our lives. As Jesus lifts that chalice at the Last Supper, he knows what's going to happen. He knows that the shedding of his blood will form a new bond between God and his creatures. One so close that God's law is now written on our hearts, written on our souls, and Jesus himself becomes our food.